did well. First time leading. Well done. It's not good to see you. Amazing. So for many of us that are part here of the congregation and it's been part of just what the Lord has been doing, you would know that we are in a very exciting time. That as a congregation, we believe that God is setting us up for growth, setting us up for a place of stepping into the mission of God. And what we know, and this is our value, is that for us as Edgemead AM, it's not actually just about Edgemead AM. It's actually about we are part of Josh Jane, which is a greater family. And Josh Jane is not just there for Josh Jane. It's there for 412 and the nations. And 412 is not just there for the name 412, but it's there for the kingdom of God and for all nations to know that this is who our God is. And we believe that God is setting us up, that as one part starts to flourish, one part starts to grow, it influences the whole body. It influences the whole kingdom. Because in the kingdom, each and every part needs to do its bit. Amen? And as much as that's the picture for the wide, it is just as much and so much importance that in the small, that we have the same heart, that we have the same intention. That as much as we as Edgemead AM is not there for ourselves, we're there for Josh Jen and 412 and the nations. So that each and every one of us that are here, that we understand, I'm not actually here for myself. I'm here for the greater body to be built up. I'm here for the greater part of the kingdom, to find life and for God to be shown into it. And we are in an exciting time where I believe we're going to see God is posing us for great growth. Amen? And that's exciting. And last week, I spoke about the new year and the new me and this new season that we're having. And one of the things that we came down to is that for oftentimes in the new year, we tend to think that if I can change myself, my year might end different than what it did previously. And kind of we're looking back for many of us, it maybe have been a difficult year, it maybe has been the worst year, and you keep on saying to yourself, next year will be different. Next time we'll keep on hoping for that little unicorn. But the reality is that we can't do anything within ourselves to change anything in us that will all of a sudden make this year not have challenges, not have sickness and financial and relational strain. There's nothing that we can do to change that. Those things will come. Jesus said to us, like, hey, in this life, you will face many trials, many tribulations, many difficult things. That is part of life. But the gift and the beauty of all of it is that as we look to God, and that's what we looked at last week, as we look to God and we find Him, it's not that our situation changes, but the way that we see our situations and the way that we react to the world around us, that changes. And that means that even when something is sent to me to kill me or destroy me, even that very thing, God can use it for His good and for His glory. Amen? And that is exciting because that changes everything. It puts us in a place where we actually show the resilience that there is to be found in God. We get to show that in this life. And that's what we're after. That is what we're after as a people, as believers. And so, as we stand here this morning, I want to just walk us a little bit through that actually that as we look to God, what we spoke about last week, and we look at His mission that He has been the same throughout all of time. The mission of God has never changed. The mission of God is the same that when He spoke to Adam and Eve, when He spoke to them and said, go, subdue, rule and reign over what I've created, how He's given that same promise to Abram and saying, like, hey, through you, in you and in your family, I will bless all of the nations. And then we see Jesus coming into the picture. See, all of these things, it's always been the same God with the same mission. And today, I would like to show us just how that mission actually applies to us. How do we stay on course with the mission of God? How do we give ourselves to actually what truly is the mission of God? Because oftentimes, we get distracted with the new me, or with the things that we get to do, or the things that we have to do, instead of being fully engaged, fully submitted, and fully just like flint, set like flint to the mission of God. Amen? So, let me pray for us. Father, I just want to thank you for each and every one of us that are here this morning. I thank you that there's not one person here this morning, God, that is insignificant. Not one person here this morning that is without a mission, without purposes, without plans that you have set out for us. Your word says that you have set out good works for each and every one of us. And so I pray this morning that as we are together here, God, I pray that we will not just be motivated, but actually, God, that our eyes would be filled with your glory, would be filled with the light of who you are, and through that, God, that we will find your life pumping through our veins as we take hold of the mission that you have given us. So we trust you for that this morning. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. We're not doing this based on our understanding, based on even what we can see and what we can't see, God. But we're solely submitted and in your hands and saying, God, would you lead us through your Holy Spirit? It's only by your Spirit that we can do this. It's not chariots, not horses. It's you. Amen. So, last week, we, like I said, went through Genesis, and we got all the way to Abraham, and there where he was given the blessing that actually, if you obey me, I will bless all of the nations through you. And we kind of looked at what all of that looks like. But I want to go today and jump to where Jesus steps into the world. And Jesus is again that promise of God's mission, the promise of God's plan, the promise of what God is wanting to do. And it's actually, in some sense, God's final mission into this world, where he says, this is it, I'm drawing the line, I'm showing you my hand. And we see Jesus stepping into the world. And as Jesus steps into the world, he shows us exactly how God is going to be working and what he is doing and what he needs to fulfill. And so I want to read to us quickly out of Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news. He has sent the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God's mission has not changed. His mission has always been set so that we as his people, we as his children, would be with him, would enjoy him, and walk with him. And Jesus comes here and he says, all those who have been lost, all those who have been taken away, who have been in some sense stolen or fallen away, I have come to set them free again. I've come to reestablish, to reconcile, to bring them back to what the original mission, the original purpose, the original place. I've come to bring them back to that. And that's a beautiful thought. That means for me and you this morning that there's hope. That we are not people that are without purpose. That we're not just here to live our 80 years on this earth and just then shrivel up and die into dust.
No, there is hope for us. There's hope of an eternal purpose, an eternal place for us with our God, with our Lord and Savior. And you might hear this and you might know this, and I know for many of us, we grow up hearing these things and we come to church every day, or not every day, but every Sunday. I would love church every day, but just that's me, okay? But we hear these things and we actually become numb to what they truly mean. Because for us, life here on earth, this is the normal. But I want to say to you, the normal that we experience here on earth is not the normal that God has intended for us. God intended for us to live in His abundance, to live in His life, to live in His light, a place where there's no sickness, there's no sadness, there is no lack, there is Him. And the glory and the light and the beauty of who He is. That is His intention for us. And that is a kind of normal that we have not yet tasted or seen. These moments and these glimpses of it where you are so overwhelmed by what God is doing in you that you go like, oh, Lord, can I just stay here? And that's His intention for us for eternity. And I want to put our eyes and our hearts towards that place, because God is come to put hope in our hearts. Put hope in our hearts for who He is and for what He has set out for us. And this morning, I am trusting in my heart that You will grab hold of it and say, Lord, would You come and establish that hope inside of me? That hope and that future that is a life lived with You. Would You come and establish that in my heart? The cool thing about Jesus coming and when He said that I've been anointed is in that He doesn't just reiterate what He's going to do, but He also sets the stage to show that God's heart and God's mission is not changed. And part of God's heart is that me and you join Him in this mission. Join Him in what He wants to do. Amen? And so I want to quickly go there for us. Because Jesus, part of Jesus, there's been before Him, there's been Isaiah, there's been Abraham, there's been John the Baptist, and all of them have prepared this way for Jesus to come. But now when Jesus landed, He's saying, not just me, but this is for all who come with me, there's a mission here to follow in. And I want to show us Matthew 28. We know this very well, but I think there's something more for us to see here. Then Jesus came to them, and it's speaking about the disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and that's the important word, and we're going to come back to that word. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am always with you to the very end of this age. The mission of God is not just His mission that He's going to accomplish, but He invites all of us into it. And inviting all of us into it, He comes and He enables us and He gives us this hope and the safety and security of saying, I will be with you until the end of the age. But the thing about this mission is, it's not our mission. It is His mission. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, meaning what we hear oftentimes is people quite description, just say, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey. And so we can easily hear that as it is something that I have to do. It is actually my mission. It's actually my thing that I need to do. But when Jesus said it here, He said, because of who I am and what I have done, go and do this. It's His mission. He's the one that accomplishes it. He's the one that causes it to work in us. He's the one that sets us, that guides us, that leads us, that keeps us in this mission. It's His mission. And we get to join Him in His mission. The mission of God starts with obedience, because it's His mission. It's not preference, whether I can choose to be a Christian that goes, or I can choose to be a Christian that teaches, or I can choose to be, no, there's actually no choice. Jesus actually says that if you accept who I say I am, if that is who you accept me to be and believe me to be, then what will flow out of you, what has to flow out of you, is that you go. Is that you make disciples. It is that you go and baptize. It is that you go and teach. Not your ideas, not what you think is best, not what you think would make a great Christian. No, that you go and teach the things that you have been taught. Not actually by men, but by the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures. That you go and teach, that you go and show how to obey as you have obeyed. Because it's not your mission, it's not your preference, it's not your way, it's God's mission. It's God's way. It's God's will. And so we get to join God in what He is doing. And guys, that is a massive privilege. That is a massive privilege that we get to go and represent Jesus. Represent the kingdom. There's something very deep about that. And we tend to make it something very shallow. But to think that we are part of something as ancient, actually more ancient than time, we get to be part of God's mission. That's a big thought to think. And I want you to think about it. Because what God is asking of each and every person, not the radical Christians. No. Each and every person. Each one that accepts Him to be God, accepts Him to be Lord and Savior, accepts His will, His word, of who He says He is. God's mission and call to all those is to go. Because of who He is. Because of what He has done. Because of what He is wanting to do. And that is sometimes, I think, for us, we think that we've got this choice. I'm sorry to say to you, actually, there is no choice. There is no, hey, it's not part of my personality. I'm an introvert. Or I'm just a guy in the back. No. With whatever we do, wherever we go, with whoever we are talking to, we are not speaking on our own accord, but we are those that are submitted to Jesus, to His ways, to what He wants, to His desires. That is what it means to be a believer. And for those that maybe are not with Him yet, that don't have Him as Lord and Savior, it might sound like, whoa, really? Is that what it means? But I want to say to you, you can take a toaster and you can try and put a nail in a wall with a toaster. And it might look like you got it right. But man, that toaster is toasted. Yeah. But the moment you take that toaster and you realize, oh, this thing actually has a cord and there's a plug here. And you take this toaster and you plug it into the wall. And you go, oh, this is interesting. Look at what it does here. It's not all banged up. And you take that nice piece of sourdough or that nice piece of low carb, whatever. We all just want white bread, okay? And you take that piece of white bread and you put it in the toaster and you put that toaster down and you realize, wow, look at what this toaster does. He does so much more than just knocking a nail into a wall. It actually does something very nice. I believe that for us and for our lives, we are many times thinking that the toaster is there, my life is there to knock the nail into the wall. Where actually God has got a very different purpose. And until that time that you are plugged into God, to the original place where you were made and created, until you're plugged into Him, you will not understand the beauty of what you have been made for. And then to follow God, His plan, His purposes, it's not something that is like this weight on us. No, it becomes easier than breathing. It becomes better than taking a deep breath. Because every decision and every walk and every time we get to be with Him, it is like life is poured into our very bodies. I cannot think of my life better spent than on the plans and the purposes of God. I've lived, in some sense, many lives before I got saved. And I've tasted many different things. Things that the world would say, these things are good, they're enjoyable, they are what life is all about. But the moment I tasted God, man, everything changed. Everything changed. And I want to say to you this morning that if you don't know Him yet, I believe that there's an opportunity for all of us here this morning to step into what we've been created for. And we're going to look into that. I've gone down some rabbit holes here, but we get it. We're getting there. So what does it take for us to stay on mission with what God wants for us? And not let go of the mission of God for the sake of comforts and preferences. Because I think that's the, for many of us, and the place where we feel like God is placing us in having to multiply the congregation into two congregations. Those are the things that is weighing in our mind. 8:30, 11. What does that mean? Like, what does it mean for my Sunday? What does it mean? What is it going to look like? And so for many of us, the things that we are weighing, and I want to say to you, the questions that we have is not questions of actually concern to God. It's more actually questions of our own comfort, our own preference, our own feel good and wanting to fit in. And it's important for us to make sure that we stay on mission. Amen? And within Josh Jane, we've got the language where we use to communicate our heart and our value for the mission of God, what it looks like for us as church. And we've got a small little abbreviation. And if you've been with us for a while, you would know this abbreviation. It's very complicated. So if you don't remember it, it's okay. Okay. But we've got this abbreviation. A, B, C. Okay, you guys remember it? What does it stand for? Stefan. Yes. There we go. We just had to build Stefan up after Harry came down on him. Well done, Stefan. Abide, belong, contribute. The ABCs of Jesus, you and me. You guys remember that? Hey? And it's what we use as language, not for the sake of Josh Jane, but within Josh Jane, we want to communicate the values and the vision that God has given us. But those values and visions is kingdom values and visions. Josh Jane is just the name on the door. But we are part of the kingdom of God. And for us as a people that are together and saying that we want to run together, we do want to find certain things that give us culture and give us an easy way to go. Amen? And that's why we do ABCs. Abide, belong, contribute. Now I want you to hear this.
If following God was just merely thoughts and philosophies and do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, Christianity and what we believe to be the kingdom is no different than any other religion. And any other religion is dead. It stops functioning the moment that you die. The kingdom, on the other hand, those who follow Jesus, is not dead. Actually, it comes into its best the moment that you die. It's very different. The moment that you die, the kingdom comes into its fullest. It gets fulfilled. That's a bit of a brain twister. We are part of a kingdom that is alive. There is no other gods. There is no other ways to God. There is God the Creator, and we've seen over the last week how He has created and what He has done, that at His voice, all that we know, all of the expanse is being created by His voice and by His word going out. It's the God who took Adam and breathed into Adam and Eve His own very breath. That same breath is still flowing in you and me today. You didn't start from a little particle or a paraiki or a bobayan or anything like that. No. You have been created, fearfully and wonderfully created, by a living God. And one day there will be an end to all of this. But in Him, we find life and life eternal. And that's the promise that He gives us. Christianity, what we see as this church and together the scriptures, it's not rules and regulations or thoughts and philosophies. No, it's a relationship with a living God. And He invites us into this. And I want to start off there this morning. Well, in this part of the preach, okay? We have started, just in case you were wondering. No, it's a connection. It's a relationship. And this connection and relationship gets spoken about. And let's look at that. John 15, verse 4, it says this. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in Me. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. It is a connection. It's a connection that is alive. The difference between two pieces of wood, or what looks like branches, would be the stem or the vine that they are connected to. And the one, if it's connected to a thorn bush, it will produce thorns. And the other, if it's connected to a vine, it will produce grapes. Beautiful, sweet grapes. I've run many a different miles to find my wife sweet grapes, because she loves grapes. If I'm going to bring her thorns, I'm not going to get brownie points or be a good husband. But I think for us here this morning, all of us have this desire in us to want to produce grapes with our lives. When you think about it, when you're by yourself, when you think about your life and you consider the life that you are living and how it affects the world, the thing that is inside of all of us is, I want to produce something that is sweet, something that is enjoyable, something that gives life. Why? Because God created us in that way to do that very thing. Because we are branches that are meant to be connected to the vine. Now, if you leave a branch on off the vine, what you see is you just find good firewood. But that thing in itself cannot bear fruit. It cannot have life. Why? Because it's been cut off from the life or where the life comes from. And so for me and you, this value of abide, connection, that's the place where the first place that we start with the mission of God, where we find what we are made for, is to abide. To be able to connect with Him. And that's where to all of us, the invitation has been given through the life of Jesus to step into the presence of God. And no longer have our sin remove us from the vine, but actually that our sin gets removed and we are restored and grafted back in to the vine. And so the only place where we can really walk with God, be with God, be able to follow God, be able to be on His mission, it's not by doing good works. It's not by setting up all kinds of non-profits or feeding the hungry or helping the person over the street. No, the only place where we can actually join God in His mission is first of all by coming back to Him and enable us in a place where we get to abide with Him. And that doesn't change for the unbeliever and for the believer that has been with God for all of his life. Nothing changes. It always stays and comes back to abide. Abide in me. Because we are now connected. No matter how long I've been connected to God, the moment I remove myself from the vine, I lose life. And so for you and for me this morning, that's the place where we need to, in these changes, as exciting as they are, that's the first place that we need to find ourselves. It's not thinking about, how's this going to work? How's that going to go? How's this going to happen? Where am I? How am I? No, the first place that we need to find is coming back to that place of, God, thank you that I'm yours. Thank you that I get to be with you. Thank you that you are busy doing something. I might not understand it. I might not even see right now the good and the great that's going to come from it. But God, whether it fails or whether it succeeds beyond even my greatest thoughts, the one thing that doesn't change is the fact that I'm with you. And so we've got to make sure that we find ourselves in that place. Secondly, as we find abiding, we realize that as we look around, we don't just abide with God, but with God we find belonging. We find that we've been part and been made part of a greater body, of a greater purpose, a greater mission. And some of us sometimes, we want to try and find our belonging first. But the reality is, the very thing that gives definition and identity to our belonging is not me, it's God. And if I'm not connected to Him, I can't find that new identity in belonging. It's abiding in Him, it's being connected to the vine that gives me identity where I find the place to belong. Amen? So let's look at that. Philippians 4, verse 7. Sorry, is that where I should go? No, it's not where I should go. Just quickly, hold on. Before I now jump my own notes here. And so I quickly want to just get back to this. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7 says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is why we abide. That is how we abide, as we come to Him in all things. And then we find that place of His presence where it's actually of first importance before we go anywhere. Amen? Now, let's look at the belonging. Romans 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though we are one body in Christ, abiding, and then individually members of one another, belonging. So we are one in Him, but being one in Him means we are many members of the same body. And that's where we find our belonging. As we find connection and belonging, we actually become aware of the stewardship that we've been given for our time that God has given us and the talents that God has given us. And so the more we abide, the more we find actually the place of where we belong. But then as we belong, as we find that we are connected, we find something else that comes and sticks up in us. We find contribution. Let's look at that. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And He gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's a contribution. God gives the gifts, the fivefold gifts, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. That means that every part of the body has got something to do. And what we see within us is that as we abide, we see God has made us part of the family. As we come into the family, we realize, hey, it takes some work. There's some dishes that need to be cleaned. There's chairs that need to be packed. There is all kinds of things for us to do because family takes work. Amen? And then as we work and we contribute and we give what God has given us as we have abided, what we find is that encouragement of the Lord is using us. The Lord is using me. And actually, He wants to use me even more. And so where does that drive me? It drives me back to the place of abiding. And we see this beautiful circle that starts to follow. Abide. I'm built into maturity of what it means to be part of Him, of what it means to be in His kingdom, of what it means to be part of His church. And as I do that, I want to contribute. I want to give my part. I don't just want to sit. I don't just want to learn. I actually want to, there's something here that I want to share. There's something here of what God is doing, and I want to be part of that. And the more I do that, the more I see that if I'm praying for someone or I'm telling someone about who Jesus is and what He has done and what He wants to do, I see life come out of them, and it brings me into a place of where, oh God, You are alive. You're not a dead idol. You are doing something. You are building Your kingdom, and Your kingdom is alive. Your word is alive. Jesus is alive. Oh Lord, how much more can I give myself? How much more can I belong? How much more can I contribute? How much more can I abide? And so we use these things to help us stay on mission with what God is doing. It's nothing new. It's something that is as ancient as time. And we get to step into that, we get to partake of that, and we get to see it come into the fullness of what God has intended. So, how do we contribute? Listen to this, Romans 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. And the one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. To each one has been given. And we are meant to use them. We are meant to use them. Jenny had a word. Maybe Jenny, quickly share that word.
In worship, I had a picture of Jesus standing in front with us, and he is handing out tools to each and every one of us. And for me, it was quite profound because usually the picture is he comes and he hands out gifts. But I felt this morning and I saw him just coming and handing out tools because he's already given gifts.
And these things that we've been given, they are tools meant to be used. And as we do it, we see the whole body, it's what Scripture tells us, come into fullness. The whole body coming into maturity. Now, and I'm ending here. The thing is this. When we look at all these things, we can actually say very easily that there is no excuse for any one of us to not be on mission with God. A branch is meant to carry the life that comes from the vine. And if that life comes from the vine, it means that we need to let it find its way in us and produce the fruit that needs to come from it. There's actually no excuse for us to say, hey, this is not for me. I'm just one of those that just want to sit. No, actually, all of us are here to take part of what God is doing. Now, I want to show you quickly something here. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the things that I've taught you. When I read that, I see the same ABCs being multiplied in that. Let me show you quickly. Go and make disciples. It comes from a place of where we are his disciples. It's that abiding. It's that place where we find identity. Then he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the place where we find belonging. Baptism is that picture of saying, I am following. It's a declaration of saying, I see myself as part of the kingdom of God. I see my life as that one that has been laid down, one that has been given to Jesus, where I take up what he has carried and lay down my life and die the death that he has died. And I am now forever marked by his blood as one of those who follow him. It's a public declaration. It's a place that gives me belonging. It's part of his kingdom. And then lastly, this thing of teaching them to obey. Contribution and the stewardship of what we've been given. The stewardship of our time and our talents. Of saying, God, I'm obeying what you are saying.
and I'm going out and I'm using it to contribute. We're not saying ABCs because we think it's cute and it's our idea. No, it's Scripture's idea. It's the kingdom's heart. And to each and every one of us that's sitting here today, whether you are part of HMID AM, whether you're part of Josh Jane, whether you are just coming to visit, if you see yourself as a believer of Jesus Christ, you need to ask yourself the question, am I abiding in Him? Do I find my belonging with His people and with His church? To the point of where I'm able to contribute to the very thing that He has called me to. Because if I'm not doing those things, I run the risk of not being part of what God is doing in the earth and being off mission and not on mission. Amen?